futuro.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino Rebels Radio. I'm Julio Ricardo Varela. And yeah, I'm here. I'm healthy. My voice is still, I don't know, it's the winter. I had the flu. This flu kicked my ass. But I'm okay now. I'm excited. I'm grateful. The holidays are coming. And I'm really excited about this show. And I can't wait to have one of our favorite contributors to Latino Rebels, who's calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hello, fabulous guest. Can you please introduce yourself and what you do?
Of course. Me llamo Cristina Escobar. I am the co-founder and editor-in-chief of latinamedia.co, and I'm also a contributor to Latino Rebels.
Hey, so, and we're really excited. You are our entertainment person. I'm just going to say that. You know, it's funny. Every time I read your work at Latino Rebels, I always have the Entertainment Tonight music in the background.
You do? I think my vibe's pretty different from them.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's how I feel. It's like, you're an entertainment correspondent. You have the finger on the pulse of Latino, Latina, Latinx media. So I want to dive in because I feel in my bones that we're starting to see the beginning of what we've all been wishing for: representation, smart characters, great shows that focus on Latino and Latina protagonists and creatives. And I want to go through a lot of these shows, but you just wrote a piece about Wednesday on LatinoRebels.com, which is on the same level as Stranger Things or any other Netflix viral hit, right?
Right. It's the top ever for the platform English language show. It is killing it in terms of the rating, including season 4 of Stranger Things, which was the previous record holder. So
wow.
Wednesday is just being watched all over the place by everybody worldwide, here in the US, but worldwide as well.
So tell me why this is so flipping important, because you wrote about it, but also, like, you know, people probably see Wednesday and be like, oh, that's not a Latino show, but it is.
It is.
Like, I will argue that it is, and you wrote about it. So tell me why it's Latinx for you. Tell me why this is so important, why we should be celebrating Wednesday as an achievement in the quest for representation.
Yeah. So my whole piece on Latino Rebels is arguing about why Wednesday is a Latino show, a Latina show, a Latinx show. And I think it's for, like, a couple of reasons. And perhaps it's missable for Anglo audiences, but I actually don't think so. So in the past, you know, I think Latinos have claimed the Adamses as ours. You know, in the 90s movies, it was, the dad was played by a famous Puerto Rican actor. And so there was sort of this, like, place where, like, maybe this is ours. They have that different relationship to death. They're this outsiders. They're the extended family. So many of the things that we see as cultural markers of us. But in this show, they're Latino in the script. And they speak some Spanish. They talk about being from Mexico. They celebrate Day of the Dead. They're played almost exclusively by Latino actors. And Jenna Ortega, who plays Wednesday, is the lead, is very outspoken about being proud of her Mexican and Puerto Rican heritage. And so this is really a show where the main characters are Latino. And, you know, it's not a show about identity. It's not about Latinidad, but the character's identity is indeed still a part of it, and a relevant part of it, and an exciting part of it. And to me, that makes the show so much deeper and more interesting, especially when they start getting into themes of colonization and indigenous cultures and how that continues, and that sort of, like, role of where we are as a society. It's worth mentioning Wednesday premiered the day before Thanksgiving here in the U.S. and definitely has some Thanksgiving themes like its predecessors.
So I think you made a really good point about it doesn't have to be in-your-face Latinidad. That it just has to be really good creatives who are just telling the show That's one of my biggest, you know, that's always been one of my biggest critiques, that I'm supposed to like something because it's Latinidad in your face. But what if the show sucks? Because that's happened in the past. Wednesday doesn't suck. Wednesday's a good show. And the market is proving that, right? I mean, so do you think people are finally waking up to that nuance? Are we past the whole Latinidad has to be in your face for entertainment?
I don't think we're past it. I think we need both. I think it is good to have shows that explore identity, but we also need shows that don't. Like, as a Latina person existing in the world, sometimes I think about my identity and sometimes I don't, you know? Like, yes, I think about it, grapple with it, and I like shows that do that, but it's also not the only thing that is going on in my life. And so it's good to have shows that do both. It's interesting, I think, from a looking at it from like a viewership perspective about which shows do well and which shows don't. I think the shows that focus on identity have a harder role because people who are not Latino say this isn't for me. And then you get even, you know, more inside the we're not a monolith. And it's like, well, this show is about Dominicans and I'm not Dominican or whatever. And sometimes people maybe turn off because of that. But when you look at shows that maybe just feature Latino characters that aren't as much about identity, I think there's perhaps a broader acceptance of that and more of an understanding that maybe this show is for everybody. I mean, Wednesday, Tim Burton's Wednesday is clearly for everyone. People across the globe are watching it, and that's good. You look at a show, though, maybe also like Netflix's Lincoln Lawyer, which is an interesting case because in the book, the character was Latino, and then they cast Matthew McConaughey in the movie, took away his Latinidad, and then they recast it with a Latino actor and as a Latino character in the show. And the TV show did well, but again, not about Latinidad, just a character who is Latino. It's important. The show isn't successful despite his Latinidad, but it's not successful because of it either. And I think that's an interesting place for media makers to think about and to keep pushing on. Well, I do also think we should be able to have shows about identity that are successful. We should be able to have it all.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really smart answer and kind of speaks to me. It's like, it's the same thing with me. It's like, sometimes I just want to be a suburban dad from Boston. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to wear my Puerto Ricanness all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have to, you know, celebrate everything. And I admit that, right? But listen, I want to go through some of the highlights of this year because I do think we're seeing, I don't even say it's a renaissance. I think this is a moment, and I think we're going to start seeing the beginning of what we've all been wishing for, like really good shit coming from our community and our creatives. And this is just the start. So can I toss a couple of shows your way and see what you think?
Do it. I'm ready.
Okay. Because I've been reading a lot of the best of 2022s already, and I'm already pissed. Like the Boston Globe just did one on the TV, and I was really upset there was no like Latino or Latina creatives. And there's plenty of cases to be made.
Yeah.
So Menudo Forever Young. Thoughts on that one?
I thought that was a really powerful documentary. And it really asked you to hold two ideas in your head at the same time, which perhaps as a viewing public, we're not so great at. But the idea there was that the contributions of the Menudos are important to understanding, you know, Puerto Rico's role on the global stage, to celebrating our culture and our heritage, while also understanding that the role they had to go through and the abuse, frankly, that they endured as to be part of the group is unacceptable. So thinking about how you lift up the artist while also damning the management, it's a really different, complex case and something that, as someone who was aware of Menudo as a fan, but not a super fan, I had no idea about. So it was fascinating to me.
You know, I grew up during the peak Menudo time in the 80s in Puerto Rico. I hated them. You know why? Because I'll be honest with you, I was like 13, 14 years old. I mean, I was a typical teenage boy. And I was like, why are the girls that I'm interested in, why are they into Menudo? Like, they need to be into like The Clash and, you know, and The Smiths. But I got through that. I thought it was an excellent documentary. And I know the creatives behind it. And it was really good. All right. This show's making some top lists. But it didn't make the Boston Globe one, which I'm really upset. You know which one I'm talking about, the one from Hulu, This Fool.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that one?
I did see this one.
Tell me about that one, because I actually think like that is the best example of what we can offer as a community and actually have it both ways. Actually have the Latinidad and have an incredibly entertaining gratifying series that permeates the popular culture. I mean, I also watched it when I was under COVID quarantine. It was perfect for me when it came out in August. Go for it.
I really liked This Fool, and I got a chance to talk to the creator, Chris Estrada, for Latino Rebels. And what I thought was really great about this show was that it's just silly and fun. It's perhaps a slice of, even though so much Chicano Los Angeles stuff has been made, that he had a different take on it based off the neighborhood that he's actually from. He rooted it in his own experience. And it was good. It was the type of show that built. I had a really hard time. I started watching the pilot and I was like, oh no, I'm going to hate this show. And then I kept watching it. I was like, oh, actually, they built it a lot of layers. You know, they use a sort of immature humor, but then they layer on top of it all this deeper understanding that really got to me at the end. You know, it's a male show for sure, created by men. There's not as many female characters.
Can I just acknowledge that? Because I'm going to tell you that, yes, the maleness of it was really important for me as a dude, because I had never seen a show like that, that duo with two Latino men. That just felt important to me. So I'm going to acknowledge that. I acknowledge that.
I agree. And that it was like their friendship and the different types of masculinity and how they engage in it. Like, it's definitely about that. So, you know, it was perhaps not as personally resonant to me as a woman, you know?
Yeah, it resonated more with me because of that, because I actually felt that both the characters were guys that I was friends with in the past, which you don't want to know my past, Christina, sometimes, you know what I mean? But do you think, you know, I've seen it already on some top 10, top 20 lists. That's a good sign that you see something like This Fool, like, getting some love and attention. And God bless Fred Armisen, who not only with Los Espookies, but he was involved with This Fool as well. Like, he's getting it. I think Fred Armisen's getting it.
For sure.
What you're saying. Like,
absolutely. I think he does a really good mix, and he's doing a really good job of doing what we all say we want, which is like, you reach a certain level of status and then you look around and bring people with you. And so he's been doing that, right? He does that with This Fool. He's doing it with Los Espookies, which is sadly isn't going to get a third season. But I see him really, really doing it. And it's interesting too, because he's very proud and out about his Latinidad, but also, like, his name is Fred Armisen. I think he's, you know, pretty light-skinned. I think he was able to sort of break into Hollywood without that coding as being, like, a Latino creative. But now that he's in...
Exactly. He wasn't paid, like, because he's Fred Armisen, he got in. He infiltrated.
Yeah. And now he's bringing us with us.
But now he's kind of giving it back.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
All right. So, Gordita Chronicles. Let's talk about that one.
I loved the Gordita Chronicles. I am so sad it's not getting a second season. It was really a perfect, beautiful little show. I mean, so it's about like a middle grade student. It's a family show, but there's plenty for grownups. It's a different type of show than you normally see. It's set in the 80s. They're an immigrant family. They're a middle class family. And then they handle all of these like fun ideas about identity. But it's also just like a coming of age show. And it did well. It did well in ratings. It did well in critical acclaim. And then HBO pivoted and said they're dropping family programming. And so they didn't renew it, which just feels like even when we win, we lose, you know. But hopefully someone else will pick it up, because it really was a darling little show and deserves way more episodes.
All right. Have you watched any of Lopez versus Lopez?
I have.
Because now we're getting into network TV. What are your thoughts?
So it is a sitcom, like a regular sitcom laugh track, kind of like One Day at a Time was. You have to like that type of show. And I think those types of shows don't get made as much. They're not as popular. So that's the first thing that I will say. But if you are into that, I would say about once an episode, I will get a belly laugh from the show, because they will do one thing that I think is absolutely hilarious. It's fun, you know, to see George Lopez back on network television. He's with his real life daughter. There are other great performances and supporting cast. The little boy is hilarious on it. I think he steals the show.
Yeah, he's pretty cute.
Yeah,
he's a cutie.
He's a total cutie.
But it's kind of formulaic, right? That's what American sitcom like.
For sure.
But I do think it's kind of going back to This Fool. This Fool is a formulaic show. I mean, it had the comedy duo. There's no difference of This Fool from, say, The Odd Couple or I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Where you have the two. You know what I'm
saying?
To
me, This Fool is a more modern aesthetic.
Exactly.
Like, Lopez versus Lopez is a throwback show, right? It's got the laugh track. It's a different vibe. This Fool is like tailored for today's audiences in a different way, or maybe a younger audience, versus Lopez versus Lopez is hearkening back.
Well, I've seen a lot of people tweet about it and saying like, oh, it's just great to see it on mainstream television, you know, on network TV. All right. So listen, I really hope you pitch your top 10 list for us so we can publish it by the end of the year.
Probably.
So with that said, give me some of your gems that I haven't talked about that people should have paid attention. And we can focus on streamers, on TV, series. We haven't even gotten into film, but I kind of feel like let's stick with the streaming world.
Okay.
And give me some of the gems that I haven't talked about.
So one that I included in my a spooky list is Let the Right One In. It stars Damian Bichir, who is one of the only Latinos, I think there's only four, who've been nominated for an Oscar for Best Lead Actor. And it's a vampire show, but it is a prestige vampire show that manages to be both like scary and thought-provoking and just super, super rich. They've turned a television show. It was previously a movie. And the basic plot is that he's a dad whose 12-year-old daughter gets turned into a vampire. And he has to figure out what to do. How do you protect her? What type of sacrifices do you make? Do you kill for someone? Do you die for someone when they're your kid? It's...
Whoa.
It spooks me out every single time I watch it. There's only one more episode left. I can't wait to catch it. There are also a couple of standout performances and perhaps shows that aren't Latino shows, but that I want to highlight. White Lotus is going viral, and Aubrey Plaza is
she's awesome. I'm sorry, Aubrey Plaza's I loved her in Parks and Rec, and I love the fact that she wears her boriguanas, and she's like, she's aware of her identity. So say more about her.
Yes, and so in White Lotus, she even talks about her identity, and she talks about how her and her husband on the show are like the diverse white passing friends, right? Because she's Puerto Rican and her husband is mixed race as well. And so there is that aspect of her identity, and they talk about maybe some of her time growing up and visiting the island. But she also, this is not a show about identity. And she's just giving this stellar performance where you're constantly watching to see what is her character going to do. What is her reactions? How is she going? She's catapulting that series. I love it. It's so fascinating. So I want to shout out her. Another performance I want to shout out is in the A League of Their Own on Amazon. They have a whole Latina arc subset of that show, including the pitcher that I just found fascinating. And it is also based on real history of the Latinas who were in the women's league that I had no concept of. And I just think those performances were
that is
really
amazing
as well.
So what grade would you give this year if you could grade it in terms of representation with the streamers and television shows or in general? We haven't even talked like films, but if you can give it a grade, Profesora.
I guess I would give us a B+. I feel like a lot of great shows came out.
A B+, man, you're an easy grader. I love it.
You think so? I feel like a lot of good shows come out. I feel like we're making progress.
Yeah, I think so too.
Pero they're still canceling stuff that doesn't deserve to be canceled. And there was a lot of frustration this year as well. But I guess I also am an optimist. So I'm going to have to believe that we're going to build on this, keep going, get more and more. I was talking to a scholar who studies it and was saying that Latino representation goes up and then it goes down and then it goes up and then it goes down, and that we haven't seen sort of a sustained rise when you look at the numbers. And I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to start bucking that trend, that we're getting more organized, which, you know, stuff that I do and stuff that you do. And that part is really key to keeping that upswing going up and not sort of sliding back.
Well, I mean, you know, go back to the start of this conversation. Wednesday breaking records for Netflix is humongous for the next wave of storytelling that our community deserves to see on the screen, right? I mean, you just made the business case, because you're absolutely right. I come from the school of you don't have to have Latinidad in your face all the time. You just have to have fabulous creators just being themselves and just doing what they need to do and just let it out there. Take the risk. Give that chance to people. And God bless Ortega. I mean, she's embraced it. And she's like, I know where I come from. I'm going to use my platform to remind everyone. And, you know, Puerto Rican Mexicans, you know, that's a great combination. I'm just saying.
Agreed. Yeah.
Hey, Christina.
No, she's killing it.
Yeah, she is. So where can people find you outside of Latino Rebels so that they can learn more about you and your work? Because you're crushing it. Like I said, you're going to be film critic for Vanity Fair in a couple of years. That's my hope yeah. for you. But yeah, no, go for it. Where can people find you?
So definitely check out latinamedia.co, which is my platform. We highlight a bunch of amazing Latina and Fem Latinx perspectives in media. You can find me. I am still on Twitter. I haven't bounced yet. And on Instagram at C. Escobar Andrade. And of course, on the pages of Latino Rebels.
All right. Well, Christina Escobar, happy holidays. And we'll bring you back in the new year. See if that B plus turns into an A or even an A plus. So thanks for being on Latino Rebels.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this goes to all the people that think that all I do is complain about representation. Because people are like, ah, Julio, you always complain. Like, you never supported shows 8-9 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, because the shows weren't good. Guess what? We're starting to see really strong shows, really good shows that are breaking the mold. And guess what? There's a market for them. An audience is showing up. Wow, what a concept. It's not that complicated, people. So I will agree with Christina's B+. People know me. I'm a tough grader. I'm going to say C plus B, maybe B minus. All right, I'll give you a B. I'll give you a B. A good solid B. Come on. So keep doing what y'all are doing. We're here to support any way we can. We support the good shit, as they say. I don't know where they say that, but that's what I say. Anyway, if you like what you heard, rate and review us. Share this podcast. Tweet at me, Julito77. Tweet at Oscar Fernandez, our producer at the Latino Media Collective. Connect with our editorial director, Fernanda Santos. And yeah, and catch up with Christina's work. She's doing fabulous work, not only for Latino Rebels, but for what she does outside of Rebels. And yeah, we'll be back next week with another show. And like we always do, we always close out with La Plebe, Menas Abiertas, Julio Ricardo Varela, Latino Rebels Radio. We out of here.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.